Hey, it's Nancy, and it's officially here. The Maker's Mindset Accelerator is now live. So if you're building a brand or even thinking about launching one, this is the roadmap I wish I had when I was starting out. It's a self-paced program packed with expert guidance, real-world strategies, and the tools you need to move your business forward faster. And right now, we're offering a special early bird bonus for the first group to enroll. So go to makersmindset.com/accelerator to claim your spot and get started today.
I always say raise less than what you think because I actually didn't need to raise capital. And it's one of my greatest regrets that I raised capital because when you are raising money, even though I raised a very small amount of money, you are selling a piece of your company and I maintain control. I ultimately run the company. Nobody can tell me to sell the company or do anything that I don't want to do, enter into partnerships that I don't believe in. So they own a very small percentage of the company. But ultimately, they want their return, and you are their product.
Welcome to the latest episode of Maker's Mindset. I'm your host, Nancy Twine. And on this episode, I'll be in conversation with Carissa Bodner, the founder and CEO of Thrive Cosmetics, a beauty brand founded in 2015 with a mission to empower women and provide them with the tools and resources that they need to thrive. And as a way to honor her close friend, Christy, who passed away in 2013 from cancer, Carissa began volunteering and offering beauty services at hospitals and career centers. Carissa quickly realized that there was a need for high-quality, non-toxic beauty products that were safe for women undergoing chemotherapy and radiation. Thrive Cosmetics donates a portion of every sale to organizations that support women in need, including those undergoing cancer treatments, domestic violence survivors, and women in homeless shelters. The brand has been featured in major publications like Forbes and Allure and has won numerous awards for its innovative products and social impact. Let's go ahead and jump in. So Carissa and I have actually known each other for a few years now, but I think this is the first time that we're actually spending time in person. And you have such an incredible story, and I can't wait to unpack it all. I know you started your brand in 2015. You come from the beauty industry. You spent years at L'Oreal. And I'd really love to just hear more about how the story began.
I started Thrive Cosmetics out of a one-bedroom apartment, and it was back in 2015. My background is cosmetic chemistry and product development. So that's where I started. I really wanted to create a brand and company that was about more than just selling makeup and skincare and that was truly giving back. And so from the very beginning, whenever somebody purchased something from Thrive Cosmetics, we donated. And again, started out of a one-bedroom apartment, started with one charity, University of Washington Medical Center was our first nonprofit that we worked with. And it's grown to now over 500 charities. And we're giving around the world, which is really amazing. But developing those formulas from scratch and really leading with purpose-driven products, not just in the give back, but also products that are solving a problem for people.
You know, it's really interesting because you don't really see a lot of for-profit models within beauty that have such a conscious focus on giving back to people, to the community. So what really sparked your desire to do that?
I think like so many people, I was drawn to having a greater purpose and leaving an infinite impact on the world. I think everybody wants to make a difference in the world. And I like to think that Thrive Cosmetics, and now Bigger Than Beauty Skincare, my second brand, is a mission and movement that anybody can join. For me, losing my friend Christy was absolutely a catalyst for me wanting to give back. I was just 23 years old. She was 24 years old when she passed away. And I think a lot about how she was teaching English to orphans over in Tanzania and really living her life with a greater purpose. And I loved that I was making people feel beautiful by the products that I was creating. But I also wanted to be giving back and making that larger impact like Christy did. So that definitely inspired me to start Thrive Cosmetics and now Bigger Than Beauty Skincare.
That's incredible. I'm just curious, you know, what do you tell people that may be skeptical about whether or not you can have a successful for-profit business with a core focus on giving back?
It's a great question. I think it has to start with your intention. Anybody can give back in different ways. You can give back with your time. You can give back money. You can give back products. And we do all three of those things. For me, it was a calling. It wasn't like I was checking a box. In fact, quite often, I think in jobs, we can go on autopilot. And for me, this is a calling. It doesn't feel like a job. Now, don't get me wrong. There are days that feel like a job and there are areas of my job that I don't love. But the overall mission and purpose behind the company really is a calling. So I think for me, it actually drives me a lot more than if I was just working your traditional 9-to-5.
So as an entrepreneur, I do a ton of mentoring. And one of the questions I often get asked is, when should I take money? How much? From who? It really is a personal decision. I mean, I bootstrapped for the first 6 years before I took on a private equity partner. And you were self-funded for the first few years before you took on an investor. So how did you think through when, how, and with who?
My question when entrepreneurs call me, especially people who are in the Valley, Silicon Valley, I always say, raise less than what you think, because I actually didn't need to raise capital. And it's one of my greatest regrets that I raised capital, because when you are raising money, even though I raised a very small amount of money, you're selling a piece of your company and I maintain control. I ultimately run the company. Nobody can tell me to sell the company or do anything that I don't want to do, enter into partnerships that I don't believe in. So they own a very small percentage of the company, but ultimately they want their return and you are their product. For me, I want to run Thrive Cosmetics for the rest of my life. And now we've launched our second brand. So it just, the incentives aren't necessarily aligned. And I raised money based on fear. And I regret that because every dollar we raised just sat on the balance sheet. So what I advise entrepreneurs when they're calling me, unless you have a very capital intensive business and you have to raise money, which I know a lot of times when you're entering into a retail partnership, you have inventory that you're purchasing upfront. So there's a lot of challenges. I couldn't get any loans. That's why I worked a full-time job. But ultimately, I always tell people raise less than what you need and pay attention to who's giving you advice and where that advice is coming from. Because the people that were inducing that fear in me were all investors. Of course, they wanted me to sell more of my company to them. I still meet investors who say, you know what, you're not going to make it. You're going to have a down year. You may run out of money. But at the end of the day, you know what you can do with your business. And there are always going to be people who will have opinions. So you have to stay really centered in your core of why you're raising the capital. But I always say raise less because I didn't need it.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And I guess for those entrepreneurs that feel like I need the capital, now is the time. What do you think are the things that they should be considering when they're thinking about picking an investor? What's important?
I would say getting really clear on aligning incentives, making sure that the incentives are aligned and doing background checks. Because if investors are inherently charismatic, they are going to tell you what they think you want to hear in that moment. Everybody will tell you that you're the next Jeff Bezos, but you're the first Nancy Twine. I'm the first Carissa Bodner. And I think that that's beautiful. You don't want to be the next Jeff Bezos because you're amazing as you are. So definitely doing your background checks. I've had some really interesting experiences with investors and I do reference calls all the time because I think it's really important.
So I've been the founder and CEO of my company for almost 10 years now. And I can definitely say that my leadership style has changed over time. And I'm curious to know how your leadership style has changed and what do you think is critical for being a successful leader in your position?
I love this question so much because I was 25 years old when I started Thrive Cosmetics. I had really only managed a few people at that point. And so my leadership style has changed tremendously. I've done a lot of things that I would never do again, like befriending employees. That's so unhealthy to the culture, right? But when it's three people in a room, five people in a room, building something that may not succeed, it's really natural. You're basically living with these people. And in fact, I traveled with people where we would be sharing Airbnbs, right? Like I can.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah. And we can never take off the fact that we are the founder. Now you can step down as CEO, but you cannot ever take away the fact that you are the founder. So you're always going to scare the shit out of people. And so my tactic for that was sometimes like making myself smaller. And I created this culture where I wanted everybody, no matter what their background was, to bring their full selves to work. And I really wanted an inclusive environment. But I realized I wasn't showing up as my full self. I was trying to fit in this box of what I thought a CEO should look like. And it was actually when I joined a CEO group that I learned like, oh, we're all different. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. So I think being aware of my weaknesses and also playing to my strengths is something that has been a journey for me, but also not abdicating the responsibility that you have as the CEO. The buck stops with you. You know, we have over 120 employees. I'm responsible for all of them. And something that I have shared since the very beginning that has not changed is that I feel a deep responsibility for the collective, not the individual. Now, I'm also a recovering people pleaser. So that's really challenging when you have somebody calling you a bitch, or you have somebody saying that it's unfair, or that you're evil, that you're vindictive, all these things, because you're making a decision based on the collective of the company. So that has definitely been a journey for me to, I always believed it, but to really enforce that. And again, one of our values at Thrive Cosmetics is one team, one score. Just because somebody creates the product doesn't mean that they're ultimately the one delivering the product to the consumer. So we're all on the same team. And I would say the other thing that has changed for me is really trusting my gut. Susie Welch says that gut is pattern recognition, and I believe that very deeply. And some of my biggest regrets are when I didn't trust my gut about people or what the right decision was.
Really insightful. Switching gears a little bit, you know, we're both in the same industry, but we have very different business models. Briogeo is in retailers around the world. We have a platform through briogeo.com on Amazon. But you've really primarily stuck to the D2C model. I'd love to hear about why that was an important decision for your business.
I'm laughing because I was forced to. It's like Jay-Z says, you know, we were forced to in the beginning. We went to every record label and we were knocking on their door and everybody turned their back on us. And so we had to build our own hype and our own buzz. That's what I had to do with Thrive Cosmetics and ultimately our community. I wanted to be carried at Sephora. I had worked at Sephora as a cast member, which I heard they're not saying they're cast members anymore, but as a makeup artist. And so I thought, well, of course they will want to carry our products. I wanted to have our products sold at Nordstrom, where I had also worked. I was on the Nordstrom fashion board. So of course they would want to carry us. But that didn't work out for me. And so I had to build a direct-to-consumer community. And I am only here because those people vote with their dollars every single day. Like we talked about, I self-funded the company in the beginning, and we were a $30 million business before I raised any capital. So it was something that was, you know, really had to be built by a community on thrivecosmetics.com. And I had to learn through trial and error.
You know, that really segues into the next part of this series, where we want to get to know you on a more personal level. One of the things that I'm really passionate about on my site, nancytwine.com, is really focusing on the entrepreneur as a whole person. So it's not just about the hustle, it's about the harmony. And you brought up a really good point about how you faced a challenge and how you had to get creative to sort of mold the outcome to your reality. And I think a big part of that is really centered around this concept of growth mindset. And I'm really curious to know how you cultivated growth mindset. Is it something that's innate to you? Is it something you had to work on? Where did you get that grit and just really sort of persistent, relentless approach to how you do business?
I love this question so much. And we talk a lot about growth mindset at Thrive Cosmetics. I believe that my growth mindset and ultimately my resilience has come through passion and perseverance. I am deeply passionate about the beauty category. You could call me on a Sunday and we could talk about formulating a product. That wouldn't feel like work to me. Our philanthropy, I love our giving partners like Raquel, who's right down the street, or Pamela, who started Teal, literally here in Brooklyn. I love what I do at the core of what I get to do every day. Do I love dealing with lawsuits? Absolutely not. Do I love having to terminate employees? No, I don't like that either. But at the core of what I do, I am able to have that growth mindset because I know that if I don't deal with the challenges, that I don't get to do the things that I love. And so that passion and perseverance is really what fuels me to continue to grow. I also will say that I do think I was born with a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. I was born with a lot of energy. And I remember being a kid and people saying like, you're never going to amount to anything or whatever. You know, kids are mean sometimes. People are mean sometimes. It doesn't matter how successful you get. Like Oprah still has haters, which is just wild to me because I'm like, I don't feel like I align with anybody who doesn't like Oprah. But like, I also know that that's like that is something that's true. So it doesn't matter if you're Nancy Twine and you've, you know, built this incredibly successful business, like people are still going to be tearing you down. And so that if you keep that growth mindset, you're able to push through that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love, is that there's always a new challenge, because ultimately, if we are not challenging ourselves, just like lifting weights builds muscle, if we don't challenge ourselves, we will atrophy.
So I know personally, as an entrepreneur, you know, we're doing so much. A lot of things in our life have to get put on the back burner. But for me, one of the things that I have had to be so intentional about prioritizing is friendships. We talked a bit about growth mindset, which is very much an internal thing, but I think overcoming obstacles and challenges can also be supported by just having a really good network. So I'm really curious to know, how did you cultivate your network, and how have personal relationships helped to support your journey of running Thrive Cosmetics?
I love this question so much, because I was terrible at this for the first few years of Thrive Cosmetics. I would say over the last couple of years, I've really been intentional about cultivating relationships. And I find friendships outside of the workplace to be my fuel. I feel so grateful to have a support system around me that I didn't necessarily have before. And I think that it really inhibited my ability to be a strong leader when I didn't have friendships, because there's this song by Out of Eden. They were Christian Destiny's Child. They're the best. And there's a song called Looking for Love. And I was looking for love in all the wrong places in my company. I was looking for love inside of my company. You're not going to get that from your employees. You have to have and that goes if you're a manager, if you're an entrepreneur. You cannot be looking for validation from your team. You have to get that externally. The fact that I can call you up, Nancy, and say, I don't know how it's going. Like, that is such a blessing and such a gift. The CEO group that we're in together, that started as a group text. God bless Cassandra from Kitsch, right? Like, that is such a powerful outlet for us to go and get validated and talk about the challenges, because we are dealing with unique challenges every single day. And we're not alone in that. But I think having peer groups is so, so powerful. And then contrast that with some of my closest friends are not even in the industry. One of my closest friends is from college, and she's a dental hygienist, but she's always there to hype me up. Megan is my ride or die. She's, you know, in old Thrive Cosmetics ads, and she's still hyping us up in the comments. So I think it's really important to have people outside of your industry too, who just love you for who you are.
I completely agree. And by the way, I love that group chat. It's right. So fun.
It's the best.
I mean, I feel like we touch on everything.
We do.
Right?
Yeah, we do. And I think that, you know, there's room for all of us to thrive. You could look at that group, what is it, 11 women?
Mm-hmm.
We're all competitors in some way, but there really is room for all of us to thrive. We're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry. Mm. Why do we have to keep our information precious? Why can't we share it with one another? And that's why I feel so grateful to be surrounded by people like you who believe that too. And we are going to help pave the way for one another. And I find that when I get to talk to you or a friend in the industry about something that you may be struggling with, it also helps to reflect back to me what I might be struggling with. And just by listening to you talk about your challenges or someone else, I get to know that I'm not alone in my struggles. So I appreciate your authenticity and your honesty, and you've shown up with that day one. And I really appreciate about you and our friendship.
Well, thank you. And I will say that has been one of the greatest things that I've taken away from being in the beauty industry, especially coming from finance.
Yeah.
I've been actually blown away by how supportive so many women have been, even if we're in the same category. Like you said, there's space for everyone. And again, not everyone's that way, but I've been very fortunate in that the majority of people I've connected with have been so supportive.
Well, energy attracts. And I think you're the perfect example of that. I mean, your inner joy and your abundance is literally glowing out of you.
Thank you. So going back to this little group chat that we have, there was a question that someone asked that I was actually very intrigued by, which is, how is everyone managing their time? I know someone talked about time blocking.
Yes.
We're like, what is time blocking? How does that work? But I know too, I feel like during the pandemic, we were on a call and I remember you were on a treadmill and you were like doing your workout during your call. And I'm just like, wow, that is a great hack. And I'm just curious to know if you have any other hacks or tips for how you maximize your time.
I love that. And we actually have a Peloton treadmill in our largest conference room, our Mascara conference room at our Innovation Center. So I'm laughing as you're saying that. In the pandemic, it was remote. But I think for me, it's really important for me to get clear about what my priorities are first thing in the morning. Before I look at my devices, I wake up to music and then I journal, and naturally my priorities come out of me, because as an entrepreneur, our priorities are shifting by the minute sometimes. You cannot predict what's going to happen in life or in business. And so for me, having a regular morning practice, which I'm going to be totally vulnerable and honest, over the last 5 weeks while I've been in New York City, I've fallen out of that a lot and it's impacting me. So when I am home and I wake up early in the morning and have that quiet space to journal, to move my body, I show up as a much better person. And 5 minutes is better than nothing. Yeah. So whether it's a 5-minute meditation or 5 minutes of mobility or walking around the block, just allowing yourself to move your body and clear your mind, I think is so paramount for just staying centered and knowing who you are so that you can show up your best.
Absolutely. I've actually become an avid walker. I don't always have time for classes, or I haven't really been into weight training, but I find walking to be a good modality for getting your heart rate up. And then I just think it's really meditative too, to just take a nice peaceful walk.
Absolutely. Do you take your device with you or without?
Half of the time, I probably leave it at home. It's 50-50. My walks are better when I don't have my device.
Absolutely. And have you ever taken a notebook with you?
No.
So as somebody who I'm imagining is quite creative and has a lot of thoughts coming into your mind, or are you that way? I shouldn't assume.
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
So I do too. And what I do is I'll take just like a little notebook, I'll put it in my pocket, and then I write down all the things that come into my mind, because I feel that physically writing them allows them to then exit my mind, and then I can come back to it after. So whether it's something I'm stressed about or an idea that I have, some of my best ideas have come with a completely unplugged walk.
Yeah, it definitely just sparks a lot of new ideation, which I'm in need of, so. So a topic that I'm really passionate about is personal finance. I feel like it's a topic that doesn't get talked about enough amongst women, especially as an entrepreneur. So much of our focus is on the financial health of our companies. And I'm really curious to know how you've been able to create a balance between making sure your company is straight, but that also your personal finances are in order. Because I've spoken to a lot of entrepreneurs who have really been embarrassed by how the personal side has just fallen out. So would love to get your perspective and just tips regarding that.
I can absolutely relate to that. In the beginning, I wasn't able to pay myself for several years. And there were years where I just didn't really look at my bank account because honestly, ignorance was bliss. But I think whether I'm, you know, running a company or working the traditional 9-to-5, something that I have always practiced is spending less than what I make. As your income continues to grow, not necessarily having your expenses grow with that. Now, that's all within reason, right? You know, I like to write down what my non-negotiables are and the things that I really value. For example, I love my dogs. Well, dogs cost money. So I have 2 rescue dogs, but, you know, they have medical care that I need to pay for, or special food for whatever their needs are. And so I make sure that I put my fixed costs in there. Like, my dogs are a fixed cost for me that I always want to have in my life. And then I try to think about the things that maybe are negotiable for me. You know, there are certain vacations that I choose not to take so that I can feel more secure with my personal finances.
Really, really helpful. Thanks for sharing that, because I know it's also a topic that, you know, can be tough to talk about, but I think it's one that we need to talk about more because it's really important.
Absolutely. And I think you're such an incredible example of that with your background with finance. Like, what are the things that have really helped give you peace of mind with your finance?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, I was really fortunate to have started my career in an environment where I was working in finance, but people were also like pulling up their brokerage accounts, like making sure that everything was in order. Like, my friends who at the time were 22 years old, straight out of school, they were setting up their 401k. I had no idea what a 401k was, but I felt because I was in that environment, I was surrounded by it. I just, you know, over time sort of evolved to be conscious about that piece, but I know so many women don't grow up in that type of career where they're being influenced in that way. So it's really important to self-educate and also hold yourself accountable.
Absolutely. And I think especially with social media, we can always be chasing the next thing. And whether it's fashion or a designer handbag, honestly, those things don't bring fulfillment and joy to my life. Maybe they do for other people. So I do feel really fortunate that I'm not necessarily driven by the latest designer trend. Honestly, my habits are, or what I really like to purchase a lot are makeup and skincare. So I do feel really fortunate, fortunate in that sense. But you know, everybody has their thing that they're really into. So just understanding like, okay, what is that indulgence that I'm going to have? I feel like I am always willing to invest in something that's going to help my personal development, my professional development, or my health. The other things like cars, like I don't even have a car. I don't care about cars. The last car I had was a 2007 Honda Civic and it served me great. And now I don't need a car. So it's just like, I think some people, they see on social media that somebody's driving a new, I don't even know, Lamborghini, whatever. Like, if that doesn't matter to you, then don't invest in that.
Completely. So I'm so fortunate to be able to have incredible guests like you on this series. And I know that there's so many people out there that are listening, that are taking notes and learning from your experience. But I want to make sure that we can leave them with a few Carissa gems. For those who are listening that are entrepreneurs, maybe they're aspiring to be entrepreneurs, what advice would you have for them?
Believe in yourself and forgive yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, no one will. And like we were talking about, energy attracts. When you believe in your vision, other people will come to you, not everybody. And there's going to be more people that tell you that it's a bad idea or that you won't make it than will. But those people who believe in you and your vision will arrive if you continue to believe in yourself. And I really have seen that happen so many different times with these crazy ideas that people have. I actually now, 9 years into this journey, crave when people tell me that my idea is crazy, because I think that then you're really cracking the code on something that may be the next innovation. So for me, it was, you know, building a direct-to-consumer beauty brand. Nobody believed that we could build it as big as we have. And we have. And it may change. So that's great. And then we'll pivot. But really believing in yourself, I think, is so core, even though it can be cliche, but like deeply, deeply believing in yourself, loving yourself, and knowing that you're going to make mistakes. I've probably already made 5 mistakes today. And I have to consistently forgive myself for my past mistakes and knowing that I only have the present and the future. So just letting that other stuff go. It's hard, though. It's really hard.
I think that's a really wise perspective. Sometimes it can really be just as simple as that. It's having the belief, because ultimately I think belief is very tied to growth mindset, right? When those challenges start to hit, it's again, believing that you can work your way out of it, that there is a solution, that there is an answer. So that's a great one.
Absolutely. And just knowing that it's going to happen. Like you could sit there, make yourself so small and never share any of your brilliant ideas and people are still going to hate on you. Mm-hmm. So you might as well be your full self and bring your brilliant ideas to the world, because what do you have to lose at that point?
Right. So one of the things that makes us entrepreneurs is that we are constantly thinking about the future. So what's in store for your future, for the future of Thrive Cosmetics?
Well, I am so excited about the future. We just launched our second brand, Bigger Than Beauty Skincare, and I'm excited to take both Thrive Cosmetics and now Bigger Than Beauty Skincare global. So those are two things that I'm very, very excited about with those two brands. And then I'm also excited about future innovation. Like I've been working on a cure for stretch marks for the last 5 years, and I'm nowhere near coming up with a cure for stretch marks, but I'm excited about the innovation that's happening in the category. And I just love how science is constantly allowing us to really eclipse things that we never thought possible. And so for me, I love the innovation in the category and continuing to develop game-changing formulas that are really solving a problem. And then from a philanthropic perspective with Bigger Than Beauty Skincare, we are launching a dermatology scholarship. So with Thrive Cosmetics, we've had scholarships like the Breonna Taylor Endowment at University of Louisville, which is a nursing scholarship. But with Bigger Than Beauty Skincare, we're going to be focusing on women in underrepresented communities and providing scholarships for them in addition to the product donations that we're doing. So I'm just excited about the future in general. And it's so bright thanks to people like you who are shining a light on everything that you've done and that you've accomplished so that other people can learn from you, Nancy, And I really see the future as a huge opportunity for all of us.
All right, so now we're moving on to my favorite part of this episode, which is our rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Your favorite Thrive Cosmetics beauty product?
Buildable Blur CC Cream.
Your favorite wellness modality?
Walking and journaling.
Your favorite travel destination?
Anywhere that I haven't been, because there are so many places that I have not traveled to.
Personal finance hack?
Spending less than I make.
A good one. Favorite productivity hack?
Not looking at my phone until I've moved my body in the morning.
So good. I need to do better with that. So I loved my conversation with Carissa, and I want to share just a few of my key takeaways with you. So one of the things that I loved about Carissa's story is that her path to entrepreneurism is totally rooted in authentic passion. She actually started her brand after she lost her close friend. I have a very similar story. I started Briogeo after losing my mom. And obviously, you don't have to lose someone to find your passion. But I tell every entrepreneur that it's so important that whatever you do, be passionate about it. Don't just start something because you want to make a lot of money or you want to have a big exit. Because the truth is, there are so many ups and downs to starting a business. And at the end of the day, it's that heartfelt, authentic passion that really helps you to overcome those challenges and get through to the other side. So make sure that you have heart in whatever it is you decide to do. So Carissa shared a lot of insight on raising money as an entrepreneur. And one of the things that I think she emphasized that's so important is make sure that you have a real reason why you need the money. I know that in some industries, it can actually be glamorous to raise a bunch of monies, have a series A, B, and C. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a real reason for how you're going to use that money, or you're just taking on any investor, it can actually backfire. I think what Carissa said about, you know, back-channeling investors, making sure that you're totally aligned on expectations is so important, because it really, really is a partnership. I've actually put out a lot of content on the topic of investments on my site, nancytwine.com. So be sure to check that out too, because it's something that you should be really, really thoughtful and intentional about. So I think Carissa is such a good reminder that when one door closes, another opens. You know, for Carissa, she didn't get the opportunity to launch with her dream retailer, and she thought she would, but she didn't. So instead of just giving up or being upset, she got creative and she found a new way to do things. And she poured herself into driving her direct-to-consumer business, something she could control. And she had so much success doing that. Similarly, I've been told so many no's. And every time I get a no, I just think, you know, how can I do things differently? How can I come up with another solution? So adopting that type of mindset is so, so critical for overcoming one of the most common hurdles as an entrepreneur, which is getting a lot of no's. So those were just a few of the many great insights that I got from my conversation with Carissa. I always learn so much from these conversations, and I hope you did too. If you'd like to keep up with Carissa and Thrive Cosmetics, check out thrivecosmetics.com and follow her on Instagram at Carissa Bodner and at Thrive Cosmetics. And don't forget to subscribe to this series, leave a review, and share this episode with your community. Follow us at Makers Mindset Podcast on Instagram and at The Makers Mindset on TikTok and YouTube. You can also follow me directly at Nancy Twine and read more from me at nancytwine.com. Let me know your thoughts, questions, and ideas for future Makers Mindset episodes. Thank you so much for tuning in.